It's Monday, and you're listening to Offbeat Tracks.
Whether you want to or not.
For some reason.
That's the new podcast update.
That's right.
You're listening to whether you want to or not. Want to switch episodes? Good
Too
luck
bad.
Finding that button, because it takes about 5 clicks.
Actually, yeah. I was going to say good luck, like there aren't already, like there aren't 106 other episodes to listen
and
to.
Maybe like later, it's like, already listened to this episode, want to go to the next one? It doesn't matter, because podcast thinks you're going to listen to this one again.
That's right.
Anyway, I have a lot of beef with the Apple Podcasts app.
Oh my gosh, me too. It is awful. Since they went, what are we on? Are we on iOS 11 or 12 now?
Whatever
the last major upgrade was, it murdered the podcast app.
Yeah,
I cannot stand it.
I mean, I'm more used to it now, but it just doesn't work.
Yeah,
for
same.
Me.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I even accosted my friend who's a developer at Apple about it. Granted, he's a web developer. He's not an app developer. But I was like, dude, what? And he's this guy has defended Apple products to the teeth the entire time I've known him and the entire time he's like, yeah, I got nothing on this one. Sorry.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone defend that. There's no defending it.
No.
If there's a reason, then I've yet to find it out. Maybe the next update is going to be the complete thing. Then you'll be like, oh, that's why you messed everything up for me.
Right.
Got it.
Don't hold your breath, as they used to say on My Brother and Me.
Anyway.
Well, now that we've totally complained about the way that you're listening to us right now, possibly.
Hi,
thanks for listening to us. My name's Max.
I'm Danielle.
We're here to talk about a group this week called Eben Ozen.
Eben Ozen. It's a fun thing to say, by the way.
Yeah, it is a fun thing to say.
It just flows in a weird way that doesn't flow.
Yep.
But it's awesome. It's like
Eben Ozen. And the proper spelling, if you're curious, of Eben Ozen is E with a bar over it.
So you know it's a long
right.
E.
B-N dash O with a bar over it.
Yeah.
Z-N.
That's an O. You wouldn't want it to be Ebenazen.
No.
That would be wrong.
Or Ebnazen.
Ebnazen. Yeah, it's like
Ebnazen.
Ebnazen. That sounds very Nordic.
It does.
Ebnazen.
They formed in New York City in 1981, and should be no surprise that they got their name from their real names, which are Ned Lieben and Robert Rosen.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So like your Ebenazen name would be like, I would be Ilton. It would be Ilton Einers or Einers Ilton if we came up with a... You have to like...
I didn't think about that.
I don't know. I always think about this stuff.
Ilton Einers.
Ilton Einers.
It still sounds Isn't Nordic.
Isn't that a weird thing? I think it's because...
Maybe they were onto a thing here. Like, you know how like you get your porn star name this way, or like you get your like soap opera name, whatever. Like, this is how you get your Nordic name.
It's like the Facebook meme of...
Yeah. It's just like the last syllable of your name and the last syllable of a buddy's name.
Also, have you noticed...
Ilton Einers.
I think the thing about it that feels Nordic is like, I feel like those languages are very bouncy.
Oh, very.
And whenever I say Ebenozen, I notice I do like an Ebenozen. Like I bounce a little bit on the Eben, so it's like Ebenozen.
She literally is bouncing.
I do.
Ebenozen.
Like I notice an Ebenozen.
Well, now I'm going to have to do that.
Anyway.
Ebenozen. So let's talk about these two gents. Ned, or Eben... this guy was a producer, he was a mixer, he was a synthesist, I guess is the appropriate name for that.
I've never thought about that
before. Yeah, his other credits, he's on an LP by this guy named Robert Cotter, who I'd never heard of. He was in a band before Eben Ozen called Riff Raff.
Mm-hmm.
He has all sorts of credits on the only Riff Raff LP, which was called Vinyl Futures. It came out in 1981.
Kind of cool.
He plays guitar synth, whatever the hell that is. Actually, we're going to get to that in a second. Backing vocals and engineer credits as well. So this guy did everything.
Yeah, apparently he like built the studio at like 14 and then kind of made it into a thing like at age 14.
Ooh, that's weird.
Yeah, which I don't even think makes sense to me. But that's what everything says.
So I found also that he is actually credited to a release in 1978 called Introducing the ARP Avatar. And I looked up what an ARP avatar is. That's what a guitar synth is. So it was this synthesizer that you play with a guitar by plugging into it. And lo and behold, I actually found this demo record.
It's
and we're
cool.
going to just listen to a little clip of it. This is what it sounds like. So there's a little taste for you of Ned Lieben / Eben
playing the
ARP avatar when it first came out. You know, that was probably what they shipped out. It was on a little flexi disc, which we've talked about the flexi disc before, the little things that they just kind of were easy to insert in magazines and send out. So it probably went out in like trade publications.
It was in Guitar World or something.
Yeah,
so a lot of people got it and were like, oh, cool. And then they wanted a guitar synthesizer because they thought it sounded awesome. And apparently like it sucked. So they would buy it. And it was like this giant thing and it was really hard to work and nothing ever sounded like
it looked
that.
Large.
Yeah, nothing ever sounded like that from it. And everyone's like, I don't know how to do this.
The problem, clearly, was that they are not Ned Leben.
That might
be it. Sorry to break it to you.
Just everybody in there was like, I remember this and I loved it. And then I spent all this money on this stupid guitar synth and it didn't work. And it was pointless. Nobody liked the guitar synth.
Okay, so that's Ned Leben's background. So let's move over to Robert. He has a very interesting background that I was not expecting at all when I started researching this.
Me neither.
So this guy was a child soloist with the New York Metropolitan Opera Children's Chorus.
Mm-hmm.
He started touring with musicals around age 19, and then he joined the Tonight Show Band. Did you see this?
Yes.
He was in the Tonight Show Band with Doc Severinsen. He then appeared in the Tony Award-winning musical Shenandoah. And then did TV stints. He did some TV guest appearances on Quincy Emmy and Eight Is Enough. And then finally toured on the Pirates of Penzance with none other than
Carla DeVito.
Miss Carla DeVito. Because everything comes full circle here on Offbeat Tracks.
It does.
So this guy has serious musical theater chops, big musical theater resume background, and he meets this Ned Leben. I could never find the story of how they met.
Exactly. I don't know how they met, and then they started going to clubs and dancing, and then they were like, let's do
I think if they were both in this arts world in New York, I guess it's just easy to run into other like-minded people. But yeah, somehow they met each other 1981 and were like, hey, let's do something. Let's start making music. So they start working on this album, and the first single that they come up with, or the first song they come up with, of course, is the one that would go on to become their signature, which is called A-E-I-O-U, Sometimes Why. This is a great bit of music trivia for any, trivia nerds like us. Many people will point to this song as the first song that was recorded entirely on a computer in the United States.
Weird,
because
right?
The Fairlight CMI had just come out. And I don't know, have you ever seen a Fairlight CMI?
No.
They are an amazingly beautiful looking instrument, right? So it's got this big, clavier, the actual, keyboard part of it that looks like an upright piano. Have you ever seen those electric pianos that kind of have their own stand?
Yeah.
Okay, so the bass looks like that. But then it has this, computer terminal that sits up on it with a little keyboard that comes out to the side. And the computer terminal also has a light pen on it. If you remember light pens, it was before there was touchscreen technology, you could have this pen that was attached with a wire to the screen, and you could
a stylus.
Yeah, kind of. But it had a little light on the end of it, that's so you could use that to touch things on a screen. And it was how you could be interactive with a screen, which was mind blowing in 1981, mm-hmm. right? And then it's got this computer tower unit where you could switch discs in and out and things like that. So it was a computer attached to a keyboard that you just used to play sounds on the computer. And I think that it shipped with its own little package of sounds. But the draw of the Fairlight CMI was that it did sampling. So you could record whatever sound you wanted into it and then just play it and manipulate it just like it was, an instrument on the
That's
with the
cool.
keyboard. So that was what they used to build first A-E-I-O-U, Sometimes Why, and then this entire album. The most famous people, by the way, to put use to the Fairlight CMI around this time were Art of Noise. So if you're familiar with Art of Noise, that was all Fairlight CMI. They were big fans. Jane Child, also a big Fairlight CMI user. She's playing one in a couple of her music videos.
You know so much about the gadgets.
I love the gadgets.
I'm just
what can I say?
That's a weird song.
Oh, and the album cover, the Feeling Cavalier album cover.
Yeah.
You'll notice that Ned is holding a keyboard in his hand. That's the keyboard from the Fairlight CMI. So yeah,
okay.
That was kind of their little nerd nod going, hey, this is what we made this album with,
this
right?
Is nerdy.
Okay, so let's talk about the actual music here. Because on this album, which was called Feeling Cavalier, Eben was kind of doing the synths, the production, the programming, all that stuff. And of course, you had Ozan doing the vocals.
it's so weird to call them that.
I know.
It's silly.
A-E-I-O-U, Sometimes Why, comes out in mid-summer 1983. And did you see this, how they got their breakthrough? Afrika Bambaataa spun this record in a club in New York.
Oh,
that was
it is. So it was African.
Isn't that a trip?
It is very Afrika Bambaataa.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, right? Can't you see him being into it?
Yes. This is very, this is such a weird.
So I get, I mean.
So
like,
weird.
I don't know if he, because it was recorded in 81.
Yeah.
But the single itself didn't come out until 83. So I don't know if at some point in that gap is when Afrika Bambaataa would have spun the record. Because he would have blown up around that time, 81, 82,
yeah.
When he was becoming a prominent DJ. I don't know.
Or it was something that was just maybe circulating around clubs.
Right.
And then it finally gets to bigger clubs and African Bambaataa's like,
right,
oh, I'm going to play this.
And right. They wouldn't have had to go too far because they're in New York already. Yeah. So they were probably, I'm sure, immersed in that club scene already. But anyway, here's this song, A-E-I-O-U, Sometimes Why. This was a big old hit on the U.S. dance chart. Everybody loved this song. And like with good reason. It's a very memorable song, right?
It's very silly. It's a weirdo song. Ozen doing his weird little raps, but it's not even really, he raps in other things, but this isn't really even a rap thing. This is just like him talking. Yeah. He's like, here's the music, and I'm just going to have a conversation with you about a Swedish chick, and like,
you're probably going to, well, you might throw something at my head for this, but I actually think this song is like kind of sexy.
It kind of is. I don't think it's
okay,
not sexy.
Good. I'm glad that you agree. Like, I don't know. There's something, like, very sensual about, like, the way he delivers a song. And you're like, you're kind of like, oh, tell me more.
Yeah, it's not like.
Tell me more. I want to hear the whole, it's not I want to hear the rest of the story.
It's not like talking at you in, like, a weirdo, like, Paul Hardcastle
No,
way.
No. It's like your friend who you've known for a long time is telling you about a really hot hookup he had the night before. Exactly. And you're, like, into it and you want to hear about it. That's kind of, that's like the vibe of the song, right?
Yeah, but it's very
But then,
weird.
Like, this weird chorus comes in and you're like, oh, never mind. Like, everyone's listening. We should just dance for a minute now. Okay, now keep telling me the story.
Like, so do you love in the 80s that a lot of people like to make songs about vowels? Because I always get this confused with the Freeze song.
With
all
Freeze?
The time. So like sometimes like in the Freeze song always sticks in my head more. So sometimes I'll be like listening to this and I'll start saying, I'm like, nope, wrong one.
Right.
Wrong vowel song.
I didn't even think about that.
I always confuse them just because it's like the same thing.
Right. Because Freeze with three E's. Thank you very much. Their song was called I-O-U.
It was like, but then it's like the...
And then this one is A-E-I-O-U, Sometimes Why. Yes.
Yeah.
And, like, they're not entirely, like, dissimilar songs either, so...
No,
yeah, that's
not.
That's a fair thing to bring up.
Anyway,
I didn't even think about that.
It just pops in my head that way, so I can, like, be listening to this song and being cool with the talking, and then I'm like, A-E-A-E.
You're like, wait, nope, not this
nope,
one.
Nope, so it's like my own brain does the mashup, but it's totally cool.
Your brain is feeling cavalier. I was walking on Broadway, you know, and there's this incredible looking Swedish girl having a cappuccino across the street from Lincoln Center. I started talking to her, you know, and she said her name was Lola. Her English wasn't too good, you know, but we wound up spending about 5 hours together just hanging out, you know, so we go back to my place and get high and we get really into each other, man. I mean, it was love about to happen, I'm serious. And then all of a sudden she gets up and she says, hey, I really gotta leave. Damn. Hey. So the album Feeling Cavalier follows the next year, does not do very well in the U.S., which shouldn't be a surprise to anyone.
It's a very nerdy album.
It peaked at 185 on the Billboard 200.
Also, by the way, I found these things while researching. In 1984, apparently, August 1984, Playboy named Ozen the greatest white rapper alive.
Oh my God.
Which was the funnest thing I've ever heard.
Like, I thought you were going to say something about them being sexy because, again, I will concede this.
It's not bad.
I think that they were actually kind of attractive.
Also, the Boston Globe named Ozen the, quote, new American sex symbol.
See, I'm down with that. Like, I think they were cute.
Oh, I think so too. Like, there were a lot of hot people who...
They had, like, their little New York style, and, like, they had their own thing going on, man. Like, it's cool.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. It's just, I just don't think of them as that.
No.
Like, of all
the things
you could pick around there, it's like, oh, you mean, like, Simon Le Bon.
Right.
Or, like, you know, just like, I don't know, Ozen over here.
Nope, just, it's Ozen. Okay, so I'm so excited to talk about this single number two here. It's called Bag Lady, parentheses... I wonder.
And me too.
I wonder how the conversation for this song started, frankly. And I wonder also how this got to number 36 on the dance charts. What is going on?
That is must have been a slow week.
So yeah, this is like a weird harbinger for Crystal Waters.
Yeah.
It's like it's oddly like touching. And it's not superficial either. Like they're singing about the plight of a homeless woman. Mm-hmm. And like even the video. Like, it's not, you don't walk away going, oh, that was kind of gross and exploitative. You're like, oh, maybe they actually, like, seem to give a shit about homeless people and the plight of homeless people. It's kind of, it's like a weird feeling, right?
Yeah, because you don't want to feel that and you don't expect to feel it and then you do. I'm kind of in that way, too. It is a very genuine song to me.
Yeah.
But it's also weird, too, and I don't know what to, I don't know if I should like it or think it's cool or think it's fun or think it's I don't know what to think on this song.
Just it's a really weird pop culture moment here. Yeah. And this music video just makes it even weirder. So the bag lady in the music video is played by Imogene Coca, mm-hmm. who was a TV star in the 40s, 50s, et cetera, whatever. She's like walking around. She like eats a sandwich out of a trash can. She like goes into a department store and is like trying on lipstick at the counter while the lady like scorns at her like, "Ooh, you can't afford this lipstick anyway. Why are you doing this?" And like there's a situation where she gets into it with these street toughs, and Eben and Ozan are there, and I guess they're also supposed to be homeless. And they like try to defend her, and then the one guy like puts a gun to Ozan's like the bottom of his head. Like he's about to blow Ozan's head off, and then like starts making out with his girlfriend while he has the gun under Ozan's head. And all the while,
that's
Imogene
like all
Coca,
street fights.
Yeah, right.
That's what happens.
And then all the while, Imogene Coca is carrying around this headshot of JFK. Just what is going on?
It doesn't
what
make
is
any
going?
Sense.
And Eben is playing a guitar. Did you notice this? The guitar that's shaped like the USA.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's just so much going on here, and I'm so confused by all of it. But like, I think I like it.
Maybe it's like a Childish Gambino's "This Is America," but of that era. And then like the more you watch it, the more you realize, and then also you're like, wait, what though?
Right. I would love to know.
I have a feeling it's not as thought out as that. It's just a bunch of weird
shit. But they strike me as guys who would think it out. Like instead of just being random, like it seems like they do think some of this out. So I'm like, I'm just like, why the JFK headshot? What? And like it is kind of funny how in the end of the video, essentially they just like brush Imogene Coca's hair and put a different colored sweater on her and give her a little lip liner, and they're like, well, she's fixed. And I'm kind of like,
it's like every
teen movie from
every
the 90s.
Every teen movie where it's like the ugly duckling into the swan. It's just literally
takes,
this.
Just, like in Not Another Teen Movie when they just take her glasses exactly. off and take her ponytail Ooh. Out. There she goes.
I did that one night when I was going to go out with my little dude. And it was like, I was like, I got to get ready though. And he was like, I don't want. Like, just wear that. And I was like, wait a minute, I can become beautiful. And I took my hair down and took my glasses off and was like, here I am, Miss America. And he's like, Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Up above the shattered frailty, the frostbite's out of hand. She shuffles by a restaurant, taunts at garbage cans. She eats the rotten refuse like vermin on the dead. Screaming at the passerby, get it through your head. I wonder where she goes.
So I think this one was actually pressed on a single also. It's called Stop, Stop, Give It Up. This kind of falls under, it reminded me of like that those Tracy Ullman albums, right?
Yes,
like where the 80s wanted
weird.
To do doo-wop again.
What I like about Eben Ozan is that like you can listen to their stuff and like not expect the next thing to come.
Very
it
true.
It is very eclectic.
It is very capricious,
this is just like
yes.
a little, I was not expecting a cute little boppy like... Just very kind of smooth, doesn't go hard at all, really. It's just
no.
a smooth little cute pop song.
It really is. That's a perfect way to describe it.
There's nothing Eben Ozan-y about it to me. Well, it is if you know that they do different stuff.
Yes.
But if you listen to the first two, you don't expect that.
That's true. You probably wouldn't know this was an Eben Ozan
track. At the time, if you were like hearing it on the radio or something, you would not think, Eben Ozan. That's not what you would be thinking. I think it's cute, though. I love it. When the fear has burned out your love. Till it's dark, breathe a golden light in and you'll fly to Strawberry Fields, Central Park.
So you were just talking about listening to this record front to back and not expecting what's next. The first time I heard this album or any other Eben Ozan song that wasn't A-E-I-O-U, Sometimes uh-huh. Why, was about 2 years ago. I had found it earlier in the day in a dollar bin somewhere. And my friend came over that night and was doing a puzzle with me. And I'm like, I just bought this record today. Do you mind if we listen to some music? And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. So we put this on and we're just kind of working in mostly silence plus the music, like on this puzzle. And then we get to I Want Cash.
And we're just like a minute and a half into this, you know, I want cash.
It's the best.
My friend just looked up at me and goes, this is relatable.
It is.
I'm like, you know, that's a good way to describe it.
It's like if this were a tweet and then like you would see a lot of teenagers responding to it with literally me, LOL.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, no, but this is like.
Or perhaps like reply, want cash. Reply, give me some cash.
I love it. I love this song. This is my favorite of all of them.
Oh, yeah. This one's awesome.
It is quirky, nerd, like Devo. It is a Devo it is, song it to is, me.
It's Devo-esque and it's like Sieg Sieg Sputnik-esque uh-huh. too. It reminded me yeah. a lot of Sieg Sieg Sputnik.
Which I love. Like, it's just yeah. like a high energy little like.
Yeah, right. Like you're perfect, it's, you get pumped, right? Right when you listen
yeah.
to this? Yeah.
And also, who doesn't want cash?
Exactly.
It's a great. It's a great. Oh, I love it.
So, the pop art bop.
The pop art bop. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
That's how it sounds to me.
Pop art. Pop art bop. Yes. So, like, they're kind of, like, mocking Andy Warhol. Like, oh, I'm going to go buy a soup can and paint it. But, like, you think, like, this had to be a little tongue-in-cheek, right? Yeah, like, 100%. They knew that they were, like, kind of a pop art thing, right?
Of course, yeah. And this is also a little quirky bop.
Yeah,
thing, like Devo.
It is.
And I love this too, but yeah, it so, yeah, okay. has to be tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah,
I don't all think, of that stuff is...
I don't think there's any, like, mendacity behind anything that Eben Ozen was doing on this record. Like, I don't think that they set out, like, oh, we're gonna mock this person. Like I think they're just out to have fun.
Oh, yeah, and you if you're doing this kind of music, and, like, if you're, like, Devo, or I would say that's, like, kind of, like, the ridiculous... simplistic art of mm-hmm. that's like of that time anyway. It's the Warhol of 80s music, yeah. if you ask me.
Yeah.
So I feel like you can't make a song like this and talk about Warhol and not have it be tongue-in-cheek. Like, you don't get it. I'm gonna get a Campbell's soup can, a big old canvas, and an easel stand. Do its portrait in plastic paint. Soup can off, what vision, how quaint. Snap your fingers, make it clean. A robot dance machine. Cha cha cha, choose me four. More is less, but less is more. I don't think a rock band should know how to play instruments. It's old fashioned. And besides, I can't relate to it politically.
So we're going to talk about video DJ now, which literally just sounds like something you would hear when you go eat at El Nopal.
Yes, it is a salsa jam.
A couple of things of note in the liner notes on the album for this song. I love this. First of all, Tito Puente is credited
yes.
for playing timbales, yes. cowbell, and cymbal. Like, there's no way Tito Puente was actually with them, right?
Apparently. Like, he, like, came...
Seriously?
Maybe they were friends.
Well, I think they probably just sampled one of his records. Yeah, I mean, that's my only explanation.
I don't know.
If Tito Puente was hanging out with Eben Ozen in the studio, that is amazing, though. I wish I had some way to find out if that was true, but I could not find any confirmation that Tito Puente and Eben Ozen actually know each other.
I don't know. This is a really cool song.
He did do the Simpsons in the 90s, so, like, Tito Puente was, like, kind of cool in his older years, so maybe he did hang out with Eben Ozen. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
I also loved that there's a guy named Jack Waldman who has a credit on this song, and he is credited with playing the, quote, Tex-Mex trumpets. Isn't that great?
That's awesome.
Also a little bit. That's a perfect way to do it. Like,
it's a Tex-Mex trumpet.
If Tex-Mex was a genre, this would be the only song
actually,
in that genre.
It could be a genre.
It could be.
Tex-Mex.
Like, I love it.
No, I love this song. I really love
it. I love that idea.
I did not,
like,
expect it to come
I want
to
hear more Tex-Mex music.
That would just be a good... That would just be a good restaurant, too.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Like, you can get, like...
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh.
Like, Arroz con Pollo and arcade games.
Tex-Mex.
Yes. Tex-Mex. $1 million idea.
Oh, my God. We could...
Our gift to you.
And it's, like, one of those things you can make money because you could obviously... Oh, yeah. That's a place that would overcharge for a cheap margarita.
Yes.
Oh, my God. We
100%
would get to be so
Tex-Mex.
Rich. Edit this out of the episode so no one can hear our idea and steal
okay.
it.
Okay. Hope I remember. At a salsa club, I met the cutest girl. A video DJ was
man, simpatica, she asked me for a dance. This man played an oldie and I got a new romance. And the video DJ dance is so crazy. See how she grooves to a New York South side. The video DJ's gonna be my lady. Era una noche mágica. Era una noche mágica.
I wasn't even going to put this one on the list to talk about, honestly.
No, we have to talk about it.
I knew you would want to, though. That's why I did. So, yeah, they cover Rockin' Robin on this album.
Rockin' Robin is a great pop song.
It is a great pop song.
But also, I feel like, this is not the way it should be done. But I'm not mad about it because it feels like to me, when we're sitting here playing before or during an episode with like little buttons here, I think that's what they're doing here. They're like, let's just like, they had Rockin' Robin on, and then they were singing along and they were like, what if we do this voice? Yeah, it's like,
he rocks in the treetops all day long.
Like yeah, that, exactly like
I
that.
I think that's what
See,
it
I
is.
I just did it.
And then they were like, they did it for a minute and then they were like, you know what? Let's just put this on the album for shits and giggles. And I
you might be
highly
right.
respect that.
Like, maybe you're right.
I don't think they're making
they
a
They recorded
big,
this and they probably just thought it was funny. And they were like, wait, can we actually get the rights to release a version of Rockin' Robin?
Everyone's released a version of Rockin' Robin. Ain't nobody fighting that.
Just release. A quick gloss over because I always love to touch on the history of things. Rockin' Robin was first a hit for Bobby Day in 1958. And then again for Michael Jackson, one of his first solo hits in 1972. So this was 12 years after Michael Jackson's version.
Weird.
Yeah, it is weird to think about that. Yeah. But like when I listened to this, it was like, imagine if you're watching a late 80s, early 90s, like Saturday morning Nickelodeon cartoon.
Yeah.
And like for whatever reason, the characters on the show sing Rockin' Robin. Yeah. That's what this sounded like to me. Just
it's
like
Oscar the Grouch singing.
Or just I imagine like a large imposing, like a giant, hey, we're going to go hang out with our friend Jamie the Giant today. And like his favorite song is Rockin' Robin. And there's just like a giant foot on the screen, like singing,
hopping in the treetops all day long.
Like Jamie the Giant doing his Rockin' Robin version.
Yeah, it
like,
does kind of
sound. That's what it is.
Yeah, like this is not good, but I also feel like it's just such a joke that just ended up going.
Yeah.
If they like would have taken it more seriously, I think I would have been angrier. But it's just so silly that I respect it.
He rocks in the treetop all day long. Hopping and a bopping and a singing a song. All the little girls on Jay Bird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet.
And you know, when I set up the episodes, I love to save my favorite for last. This is my favorite, even though it isn't song.
Really?
Yeah. Kuchinga Pamoja.
Very Afrika Bambaataa.
It is very Afrika Bambaataa. So, again, I have to go back to the night that I bought this record, and I'm sitting here with my friend, and we're doing this puzzle, and this song starts playing, and a certain news event that led to a lot of terrible people making jokes on the internet had just happened, and our ears both pricked up, and we were like, did he just say Harambe? And in fact, he had said Harambe. And I just looked at my friend and I said, the internet can never know about this song. All these terrible jokes about a dead gorilla that I'm already tired of happening. Because it had been like a month, maybe. Yeah. And everybody was making all these stupid, terrible Harambe jokes that were never funny. And then I hear this and I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, how is this a thing right now? What is my life? What is happening?
And Ibn Ozen ahead of the game.
Ibn Ozen was ahead of the game.
Yeah.
But doesn't the name Harambe just mean like big guy, like tough guy, great guy?
I never thought about it. Just
like Harambe,
means,
like you call somebody like, I'm trying to think of like
Harambe.
An English. Yeah, but like I'm trying to think of like an English equivalent and I'm not coming up with anything that's like a good analogy. But you know what I mean? It's like calling somebody big guy. Like,
yeah.
Hey, Chief.
Chief.
You know, yeah.
Chief
something like
one.
That. Yeah. I think that's the connotation of the name Harambe. Oh. So like they literally made a song about ants, which is amazing, and they're like how cool they think ants are.
Why not?
And who can, carry all this this food that is 50 times their own weight? It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a fine song.
The
I don't
song is
feel
just,
about
it's
it
a bop.
The way you do.
It is a bop.
Thank you.
So, what's Eben Ozen up to now, and what did they do post in Eben and Ozen-ing? This was Eben Ozen's only record from 1984. Ned Leben did keep working as a studio musician. I don't know if you saw this, but he actually played on the Skritti Politti songs Absolute and Woodbees.
Uh-huh. Yeah, see, it all comes full circle.
It does. He did sadly pass away unexpectedly of a heart attack in 1998. And I really couldn't find much about his life between like the mid 80s and his death. So I'm not really sure what he did, he died in Manhattan. So he did stay in New York all that time, I guess. Robert Rosen, however, he became a house musician briefly.
That's what happens when you're the greatest white rapper alive.
Apparently.
1984, it's big
like,
shoes
I,
to
I
fill.
Saw like some blogs you can find, like people make a really big deal about him being a white house musician. Like that was a really big
apparently,
deal.
Apparently one of the songs was the first charting by a white house musician, but also in the U.S. But then also right. It was like, I don't know if we need to have records for white men.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. I thought, thank you for putting into words what I was thinking. I was like, why are we patting white guys on the back for just the most basic?
Maybe it's weird because it's like, maybe it was a black thing or like a whatever thing and then the white people are into it, but
yeah,
I'm not
but
sure
like,
we need
yeah like exactly like the, why are we applauding
I'm so glad
the
white men have gotten
anyway yeah
it.
No yeah. Knock against him or his music, but yes, I agree, like lauding him for that is a little silly. Yeah. And I get the feeling he would agree.
Yes.
So he actually left the music industry around 1990 was the best I could gauge.
Mm-hmm.
And he became a screenwriter and a script analyst. He wrote the movie Eyewitness that came out in 2003.
I do not remember this.
Which stars Jeff Daniels, James Spader, and Portia de Rossi.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, I guess he works in Hollywood as a script analyst. So that's what Mr. Ozen's up to now. So this dude has just, like, lived and breathed show business literally his entire life.
Mm-hmm. And apparently, he's like a big bisexuality advocate.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he was like some group he was like the head of, and he's always like a bisexuality advocate.
Oh, that's awesome.
I saw that, so.
Love some good bisexuality representation.
Why not?
So that's Eben Ozen. They're one really cool, quirky record that thankfully is on Spotify, and I'm glad I almost forgot to say this. So there are actually two versions of the album on Spotify. Feeling Cavalier's there. The artist's name is listed two different ways. Now, if you'll recall, at the beginning of the episode, I said that the proper spelling of Eben Ozen was E with a bar, B-N, dash, O with a bar, Z-N. So the one you want to look for on Spotify is actually not that way. They spell it all caps and with a slash between it.
Yeah.
The audio quality is better on that one. The other one's okay. Like, you won't have a bad time listening to it, but the audio quality, for whatever reason, is better on the version that is spelled EBN/OZN with all caps. I can't explain that, but exactly the same track listing other than, yeah, so anyway.
A better quality.
But it is on Spotify, and it did get pressed on CD, I think, about 10 years ago.
Hmm.
And so I'm sure that's probably not difficult to track down. But like I said, I found this record in a dollar bin, so this is not a hard-to-find album, and definitely one that you should pick up if you love quirky-ass 80s music.
And
which, if you don't, why are you listening to
this
show?
This is very quirky. Maybe it's just all the Giant Steps and Breathe people. It's the Sophista Poppers who are like,
right.
Oh, God.
Well, like, yeah, no, Eben Ozen.
Not this again.
Skip. I'll be back next week when they're talking about Chico DeBarge. Why did I just imagine all Breathe fans sounded that way?
I don't know.
Why are we so bad at not insulting our audience? God, we really gotta work on that.
All right, so until next week,
I already revealed what we're talking about next week, so I hope you were paying attention.
Chico DeBarge, darling.
Okay, she said it again.
Chico DeBarge.
In the meantime, you can listen to all of our old episodes on our website, which is offbeattrackscast.com.
We're also on Twitter. You can bug us and DM us and do all sorts of weird trolley stuff if you want to do it at offbeattracks.
Yeah, and you can shoot us a message on Facebook too. Mm-hmm. We have a Facebook page. So we will see you next week.
Bye.